Father, I pray that that would just be more real to us today. Nothing compares than the promise that we have in you. Lord, help our worship to come from our heart. Help it not to be motions. Help it not to be forced or labored. But Lord, I pray that it would be from a heart that's prepared and seeking you. Lord, I pray that even as we worship, we would continue right now in the hearing of your word. That we would worship you by, Lord, just being attentive to what your word has for us. And God, that we would respond accordingly. And Lord, I pray that through it all, Lord, that it would not be done with eye service as men pleasers, but that we would do it to you. That you would be glorified. And God, that you would be lifted up. And for all of that, Lord, we'll give you the praise, for it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. As you're being seated, our kids are going to be dismissed to Kids Connect for grades 1 through 5. If you'll join the leaders up here up front, K through 5, I'm sorry. Thank you for that. And the rest of us, let's take our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. As we began last week, our sermon series through the book of Ephesians, to see the truths of God's Word week by week through this book. And it's a great opportunity for us to see how it all works together. And I tell you, as Paul begins this book, it's just really incredible. The amount of content he puts in. And so as we work through this, there's a lot that we're going to be able to see in these first few verses in this opening prayer this morning. You know, sometimes it's good to feel small. Because when we have an opportunity to feel small, we realize that God then can be big. James Irwin was an astronaut, and he was on the Apollo 15 mission. He was the 8th astronaut to walk on the moon. And really, how many humans can say that? I've walked on the moon. The 8th to walk on the moon, he was the first to drive the lunar rover across the surface of the moon. And he said this after he returned from space. He said the earth reminded us of a Christmas tree ornament hanging in the blackness of space. As we got farther and farther away, it diminished in size, and finally it shrank to the size of a marble, the most beautiful marble you can imagine. That beautiful, warm, living object looked so fragile, so delicate, that if you touched it with a finger, it would crumble and fall apart. Seeing this has to change a man. It has to make a man appreciate the creation of God and the love of God. So this morning, I want us to look here in the Word of God and feel small. I know it's strange, but I want you to see the word. Look in here in chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 3 through 6. Ephesians 1, 3 through 6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he has chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. Now, as we look at this passage in these verses here. This is just a small sample of Paul's opening praise and what he's doing here. And I realize the topics that we're going to look at this morning, it needs a lot more coverage than what we can give in a Sunday morning. And so I'm not going to get into the full depth and detail of some of these topics. But there's something I want you to see about God and His glorious grace to us this morning. Paul, as he's beginning this in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." This is a part of what we saw last week as we were beginning in our introduction. And as we look at this, this is what is kind of in Hebrew, it's a Hebrew construction. It's known as a baraka. It's the idea of a song or hymn of praise. It has a construction of "blessed be God who." It has the subject, and then it has a relative pronoun, and then the reason why the subject is to be blessed. "Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who," and the reason is, "He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." And that's the reason why Paul is praising Him in these verses. And really, from verse 3 down to verse 14 is one sentence. One sentence. This is one run-on sentence. You ever notice how that kind of happens? And you know, when you're writing and you're being taught to write, run-on sentences are not good, all right? You know, these kids, as they're preparing for these STAR tests, these different things, they're realizing, I don't want a run-on sentence. I got to correct that in my research. So why is Paul giving us a run-on sentence here? Because God was so big, so mighty, so much to be praised for here, he couldn't stop himself. So he just keeps on and keeps on, and he keeps adding another clause, and he keeps adding another clause, and he keeps going on. It's what happens when there is a magnitude of praise, when there is something that is just overwhelming us. We just keep going on and on and on. It's like listening to my daughter talk about her favorite things. It goes on and on and on. Just one thing right after another, and the speed intensifies. I mean, you can see this here with Paul as he's talking about the reasons why we should bless God. Here it is. And I tell you, each week, folks, we need to be reminded of why we need to praise God. Because too often we want to, "God, this is what you need to do for me." Sometimes we need to be made to feel small so that we can let God be God. In us, then, it produces humility. In us, it then produces gratitude. So I want to look at this bigness of God here, and what we're going to see in this morning in these verses, we're going to see in this idea of election, of this bigness of God. But in this, we're going to see His glorious grace. Here he is deserving of our admiration. He's deserving of our worship first because God thought of us first. He thought of us first. Look at verse 4. "Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love." Even as he has chose us before that foundation of the world, God has chosen us. Paul is bringing out this idea of election and this idea that we were chosen by God, that we are God's chosen people, that there is something to be praised in here, that God would even think of us to choose us to be His people. Those that come to know Christ as their Savior and are one of His, that He has chosen us. That this is the God who has made this choice before the foundation of the world even began. This idea is that creation tone, foundation of the world, is a phrase and an idea that's used throughout Scripture to refer to that the beginning moments of the idea of creation. So before even creation, that this was a part of God's plan and His idea that He chose us. The emphasis here as we look on this, as we think about this, is not on our merit. He's emphasizing that it was God's choice. It reminds us of what He told the Israelites in Deuteronomy chapter 7. In verses 6 through 9, He says, "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. It was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, for you are the fewest of all peoples, but it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers, that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, not from the hand of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. It's because the Lord loves you that he has chosen you. So as Paul is beginning this, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing, the first thing his mind comes to, he has chosen us before the foundation of the world. God thought of you. And he chose you. Now it's our duty, as we look in Scripture, to realize the revelation from Scripture over our speculation. As we look at this, there are so many different doctrines and different ideas and different arguments that are out there concerning these passages and concerning these scriptures. And it's very easy for us to take a theological system and try to apply it to Scripture when we need to let Scripture apply to our theological system. We need to let Scripture dictate to us what he is saying. And what Paul is bringing out here is something worthy of praising God for, and is that he has chosen us. And then look at verse 5. It says, he has predestined us. The other word that's really big in this idea of an election is predestination. And he has predestined us. The word predestined, it means literally to predetermine. God has had a plan. And Paul is bringing this out. He's bringing this idea of election, of being chosen, of being predetermined and predestined, not to sit here and get into a logical argument about it. This is not what he's doing here. He is praising God here. He is giving us a reason to realize of our blessings in Christ, in the Father. He's not trying to produce a logical argument here. If you want to see more of that, look at chapters like Romans chapter 9. We'll describe more of that in detail. But here the emphasis is for praise. That God chose us. He predestined us. This is showing God's work. And what we are seeing here is that God is big. He chose us. He predestined us. And he thought of us first. Too many times we want to bring God down to us because it makes us feel big. It makes us feel right in our own eyes. When we need to put God where he is and leave God up high and magnified, and we need to raise to his standards. Be raised to him. God is big, and he is showing us here. Paul is saying, listen, the reason why we bless God, the reason why we praise God is because he has chosen us, he has predestined us, he has done a work in us even before the foundations of the world. He knew all that was going to happen. We might try to predict what's going to happen this afternoon. We might try to predict what's going to go on tomorrow. You might try to listen to a weatherman. But you know what? It's all in vain. But there's a God who had a plan before the foundations of the world that's showing how big God is. You see, God's choosing and his predestination, it should affect our actions and our attitudes. And that's what the verses say here in verse 4. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. Because he has chosen us, because he has elected us, and we see this coming from Scripture here, Paul says this should do something in us. This should change some actions. That we should be holy and we should be blameless. And these are really some Old Testament terms referring to that sacrificial system and descriptions there, that we should be holy, that we should be set apart, that we should be blameless, that we should be pure. That it should be about our actions of being holy and blameless before him because he has chosen us unto him. It's not God has loved us and chosen us so that we can go out here and do whatever we want. It's so that we have an opportunity to work unto Him, to be holy, to be blameless. Lives that evidence God's choice and God's chosen and in God's election will be those that display holiness. That's set apart unto God. That doesn't mean that we're perfect. It means that we strive for it. We work towards it. Every day is not going to be great, but we're not going to live in sin and think it's okay. We're going to realize that there needs to be a change. I have a feeling if we were focused more on holiness, we would see a lot less moral failure. Not only in our country, but in our churches. If we would focus on God and who He is and His magnitude, and that should respond with holiness in us. It affects our actions, but not only that, it affects our attitude. Notice in verse 5, He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. Our actions, we should be holy and blameless. Our attitude, we have a Father. Our attitude should be that we have a Father, that we have been adopted, that we are like sons and daughters, that we have that adoption in through Jesus Christ with the Father. That God our Father, do you know that the idea of God the Father really was promoted more so in the New Testament than the Old Testament? Of what we see through Jesus Christ, and Jesus brings it out throughout the Gospels, referring to my Father, my Father, my Father, my Father's will. I'm going to be about my Father's business. And we see that through, and that's why we see Paul. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says in verse 1, He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, so that we might call Him Father. The word adoption here, in the Greco-Roman time, it had a very legal sense. It was the sense that this male that was not born into the family now has legal standing to be an heir and to receive an inheritance from the father. He was of legal standing. And so for us, and in this truth, here we have this understanding that God took this sinner, that God took this one that had no thoughts towards Him, who wanted to do his own thing, who was living in sin, and there He has come upon through Jesus Christ, has changed his life, so that now he can be adopted as an heir. Romans chapter 8 tells us that we might be an heir with Jesus Christ. We can now call Him Daddy. Romans 8:15 says, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. That's a very intimate term, Abba. It means Daddy. We call out unto Him and we say, Daddy. Our attitude is that we are sons and daughters. We are those that have been adopted. We can call Him Daddy. We have backup. So let me tell you, when the devil wants to begin to work overtime on you, when the flesh really begins to start tempting you, you can say, let me call my dad. Let me get Daddy. Let me get my daddy, because he is the one. I don't have to live in the spirit of fear, the spirit of slavery, because my daddy has taken care of it through Jesus Christ. We have that spirit of being adopted as sons. Unfortunately, this, in our culture today, isn't understood as what it used to be. Because the role of fatherhood has changed in our culture. But even while the role of fatherhood might be changing in our culture, it never changed with our Heavenly Father. And He has chosen us that we might be predestined to call Him Daddy. And regardless of what failures we might see from fathers and those around us in this culture today, there is no failures with our Heavenly Father. We call Daddy. we can act as sons. Paul is worshiping God because God thought of us first, chose us, He predestined us so that we could be holy, blameless, and adopted as sons. And then secondly, we see because of that, it means that God deserves our praise. In verse 5, He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace with which He has blessed us in the beloved. To the praise of His glorious grace. Starting there in verse 5, He's giving us these reasons now. Paul is backing up of why this election and why this predestination, why it is worthy of praise here in verse 5. According to the purpose of His will. And this is what it says in the ESV. You might be looking at a different translation this morning, such as like the King James says, for the good pleasure of His will. When we see that this word purpose here carries that connotation of good pleasure. He's talking about it was His good intention, it was His good desire, it was the good purpose and good intentions of His will to choose us and to predestine us as sons. It's His attitude that He deserves our praise because of His attitude. It made God glad to choose and to think of you. According to the good pleasure of His will, He was happy to choose those who were chosen. And then notice, as He says there in verse 6, to the praise of His glorious grace. So here's the purpose clause. All this is coming down to bring about this reaction in verse 6, to the praise of His glorious grace. The word glorious, it's bringing the adjective form of the idea of glory. It's the idea of splendor, of brightness, of radiating light. It is noticeable. His glorious grace. Grace is that giving what we did not deserve. The acronym that I learned early on that stuck with me through the years. God's riches at Christ's expense. That God has given us that which we did not deserve. That is grace. So the fact of Him choosing us, the act of Him predestining us to be as sons is there so that we might praise Him for that grace. That is by the grace of God that we have been given what we did not deserve. Too many times when we think about election and we think about predestination, we try to focus too much on what we think we deserve. The problem is we deserve a whole lot less than what we think we do. But God has been gracious. Because the focus and what we see in election and what we see Paul bringing out here is the focus is that on it was the grace of God that He would choose us, that He would love us. That way God can be God. He can be lifted up in His magnitude and to be who He is. So that we might praise Him for His grace. This glorious grace. And then notice that next phrase. With which He has blessed us in the beloved. This is a really full statement that He's saying here. With which He has blessed us in the beloved. The word blessed here is not the normal term for blessed. It's actually from the word family of grace. And what He's saying is that He has begraced us. He has begraced us. He has bestowed upon us this favor, this benefit of favor. He has begraced us. And so it's really re-emphasizing the first part to the praise of His glorious grace with which He has graced us. It's grace upon grace. John 1:16, for from His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The emphasis is being on this abundance. That in Christ and through Christ we have this grace upon grace. This grace that not one of us came before Him deserving. He has bestowed upon us. And notice how it's been bestowed. In the beloved. If you notice there the word beloved, it's capitalized. Because it's referring to Jesus Christ. Throughout this passage we're going to see in Him, in Christ, and in the beloved. Because all of this blessing, all that we see happens through Jesus Christ. Through Him we receive this grace. He is the demonstration of God's love. He is the reaches of God's resolve. He is the depth of God's determination. He's the fervency of God's compassion. That through Christ we have this blessing. You know, seeing this magnitude of God results in adoration and admiration of His people. For Paul, it was a natural response. Because He has chosen us, because He's predestined us to be sons, oh, we need to give Him the praise for His glorious grace. Think about Paul, who's writing this. Think about the one that is penning these words, that is thinking about the election of God, that Paul had no business being chosen by God. If we would look on it with our own human mindset and our human justice, we would look on Paul's life and think, you're a murderer. You deserved everything coming to you. And we would want to apply our justice to it. But God in His grace applied something different. And before we hammer Paul, we got to understand we were in the same place as the Apostle Paul. And in that place, God bestowed upon us grace so that through Jesus Christ we might come to know Him. That to be chosen and to be predestined by God is to be a part of this glorious grace that He did not have any reason to choose any of us. He had no reason from our merit. There was nothing before of us before God that says, you know what, that looks like a pretty good one. You know, just recently they had the NFL draft. And you know what they have before the NFL draft? This combine. Well, they bring all these players, these collegiate players, come into the stadium. They do all these different exercises. They do all these different feats of strength. And doing all these different things to show, hey, look how strong I am, how fast I am, all these things. And they superimpose them running the 40-yard dash. And they do all these things, and so all these coaches, they're sitting there looking. So when the draft comes, and they look and say, well, you know what? You know, he's worthy of this pick here. And all the commentators go back and forth. Well, you know what? They really should have picked him in the second round. Or they really should have picked him in the third round. He shouldn't have been picked at all. And, you know, they go back. And when we as humans sit here and try to apply our book, and we want to sit there and tell God, you know what? Hey, God, look, this is why you should choose me. God's saying, no. There's nothing you got that is a reason why I should choose you. But it's because I love you. And it's because of the glorious grace of through Jesus Christ that we have been chosen. Because that way God is big and we are small. And He then deserves our gratitude, our worship. You see, Paul is praising here this morning because God chose to be gracious. And for everyone that knows Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, we need to sit here today and realize that we need to praise Him for that grace. Praise Him that He chose us. It deserves our reaction. Worship is a reaction to the revelation. The truth has been revealed to us through Jesus Christ, and we worship Him and we react to that. And when we see Paul here, man, he is just pouring out this worship before God. Blessed be the God who He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. And when we look at the fact that He chose us, when our combines didn't look too good, He chose us. He bestowed grace upon us. It deserves our reaction. God in His magnitude chose us in our ineptitude. And that deserves our praise today. God's plan was executed. From before creation, God had this plan. And we need this reminder because it helps us keep God where He's supposed to be. It helps us be reminded of God's magnitude. And it's reminding of His grace towards us. Even in this bigness of this God, and I love the way the astronaut put it, you know, just looking back on the world, it looks so fragile. It's just that beautiful marble. It looks so delicate that even a hand could just destroy it. And seeing that changes a man. The magnitude of the Creator God that would choose us before the creation. Even in that magnitude, He wants us to see this personal grace through Jesus Christ. Back in about, I think it was around 2008, 2009, it was our anniversary, and Nicole and I went to a concert. Chris Tomlin was having a concert in Grand Prairie, and Nicole and I were there, and Chris Tomlin would bring in a speaker, Louis Giglio, and he would do a message in the middle of the concert, and he's a great speaker, and in this message, Louis uses an illustration, and it just stuck with me, and it's something that I've shown you before, but it's a good reminder, and it was after seeing this story and hearing the story about this protein molecule, laminin, that Louis tells the story about meeting a molecular biologist and him talking about this protein molecule, laminin, and it's a protein molecule that's inside of us, and it takes the shape of a cross. The protein molecule is that which helps cells stay attached. You know, it looks like a cross, and it was a wonderful illustration of what he was talking about and how he's bringing it down of how we can be held together in Christ. And a couple weeks after, we were at a craft fair in Kerrville, and Nicole found this and picked this up for me, and it kind of serves as a reminder in my office. And you know, when you look at this and you think about these little reminders and that microscopic protein molecule that holds our cells together, is just another way to see this big God who personally cares, who loves us and who would choose us, a big God that would begrace us with His glorious grace. That's why Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places." The question is, do we let that get beyond us? Did you need a reminder this morning of God's grace? To know that you were that valuable in Him before the foundation of the world, He thought of you. This morning, do you know that grace in your heart and life? Has there been that time where you've asked God to forgive you of your sins, to come into your life and to be your Lord and Savior? If there's been that time, are we walking in that holiness, in that blamelessness, because that big God chose you? Do we walk around as though we are adopted sons of God the Father? Do we call on Him for our backup? He deserves our praise because He has bestowed upon us, begraced us with glorious grace. Shall we stand? We're going to sing, and have a time of response. The song, Grace That Is Greater Than Our Sins. And this is a time that we can respond unto the Lord. After I pray, if you need to know that grace, if you need to know this God that who wants you, I want to be here this morning to show you how to know Him as your personal Savior. Just meet me right down front. If you know Christ as your personal Savior, how are we walking with Him? How has that truth of His magnitude affecting our actions? It should be easy to worship Him. And I pray that if there's anything in the way of that this morning, that you would get it out of the way. Our Father, I pray now that you would work in our hearts and lives and help us, Lord, to understand this glorious grace that you've given to us. And God, we'll give you all that praise for it. Lord, I thank you so much for everything that you've done for us. Lord, I pray that it would just not go over our heads. Help us now, Lord, to respond to you, for it's in your name we pray. As we